Welcome to episode 6 of the Link Together podcast, a place where we unpack the connections between our faith and how it influences the way we live our daily lives. I'm your host, Bob Hegdahl, pastor for mission and outreach at Calvary Lutheran Church in Clarkston, Michigan, as well as development pastor for our campus in Lapeer. Each episode offers different perspectives of different pathways of living out our faith through our daily lives, featuring Talk to the Hand, an interview segment with someone from one of the campuses of Calvary, the communities we serve, and beyond. Special thanks goes out to Master of Administration Kelly Rinaldi for her tireless assistance with public relations, and for Keith Van Gore, the answer man for all things audio. You both are appreciated. We also appreciate each of you, our listeners. We're glad that you've joined us for episode number 6. If you will, please like and subscribe to the podcast, as well as sharing it with others. A new podcast generally arrives 2 times each month. It is now time for our spiritual snack. The spiritual snack word for this episode is support. Support is defined as a structure or person that holds up a foundation or another person. Another definition says, to promote the interests of someone or something. Either way, it sounds like support is a good thing to have. When I have the chance, I love to walk in the woods. I especially love woods that have an abundance of trees. I used to wonder how the trees that are so close together survive. Have you ever noticed that sometimes the ground in between the trees is covered with so many roots that you don't know which root belongs to which tree? One of the beauties of nature that I have discovered is that trees often have roots that overlap, sharing nutrients freely with one another. Another advantage of the overlapping root system is that trees, when needed, use the roots from other trees around them for support. Trees also lend their roots out as well, so it is a mutually beneficial relationship. Even tree stumps, which most would think of as a tree that died, participate as well, feeding nutrients back and forth through the root systems. I think we can learn a lot from trees. The ways the trees support each other is similar to the way that people of faith are called to support one another. To extend ourselves when we are able to support others, and to be recipients ourselves when we could use support. The give and take of relationships is beautiful, whether you're talking about trees or people. Possessing a desire for the good of others is part of our faith DNA. We are called to look out for one another, whether it is through thoughts, prayers, or deeds. Just like the forest where the trees are close together and are there for one another, I wonder how often you think, pray, and serve to those who are closest to you. It can be really easy to forgo focusing on those who are closest to us, to offer support and encouragement. I can't tell you how many times that I have heard someone say, "Oh, they know how I feel about them. They know that I support them, that I've got their back." Are you sure? Have you ever told them? Or perhaps it's been a while since you let them know that you do love them and support them and have their back. I say this not to shame, but to remind. It is important to be reminded by those around us that we are loved and supported. It is important to allow people to support us when needed, to be the extended hand when we need it, and then we can be that same extended hand when we can be of support. It's also important not to just assume that people know that we are there for them, that we support them. Sometimes reminders go a long way. Even if the reminder gets dismissed with something like, "Oh, I know it's important. I know you have my back. Even though they might say it, it's still important to say it and to model it to the person. I think people in general are uncomfortable being reminded of how valuable they are and that your support for them is real. I say, remind them anyway. Remember, we often prefer to be the doers, not the recipient, of support from others. When you think of those closest to you, who comes to mind? Certainly family and friends. How about the doctors that you see that keep you healthy? Or teachers that educate our children and grandchildren? What would it look like to support them as they use their gifts of healing or teaching in support of the ones that you know and love? One way is through prayer. How often do we let people that we pray for know that we're doing such a thing? 1 Timothy puts it this way, I urge you, first of all, to pray for all people, to ask God to help them, to intercede on their behalf, and to give thanks for them. Praying and supporting my family does make sense, but what about praying and supporting others that are also part of my world? I wonder what your expanded list might look like. As a pastor, I always appreciate it when people let me know that I am supported and prayed for. Like most vocations, being a pastor can be hard at times. Even when you strive to be the best you can be, you sometimes falter in execution. And like I said, I always appreciate it when people let me know that I am supported, loved, and prayed for. In general, I think people of faith do a pretty good job letting pastors and staff of churches know that they are supported, loved, and prayed for. If I could change one thing, it would be that people would be more intentional about including the families of people who serve the church as well. Families of people who serve the church can sometimes be overlooked when it comes to support, love, and prayer. I do not believe that this is intentional, but it does happen. People who serve the church can sometimes get distracted by the ministries of the church, and it does affect their families. I can share with you that there have been many times when my family was preparing to leave or to head to our next activity, and I let them know, oh, it'll just be a few more minutes. And after a while, the running joke among my children was, Dad, are those actual minutes or pastor minutes? And just like all other families, families of people who serve the church go through ups and downs, hills and valleys, and all the other things that life can throw at us. And sometimes sharing a part of your family in service of the church can be overwhelming for those who love them. So if by chance you haven't let the families of those who serve the church, or perhaps it's been a while, let them know how much you pray for them, support them, and love them. Now they might just respond with, oh, I know, but keep saying it anyway. It will be appreciated more than you could ever imagine. Support. Holding up and being part of a foundation for something or someone else. Promoting the interest or cause of something or someone else. Just like the old Nike slogan, support. Just do it. We can always do this because we are always better together, loving and supporting one another. The Link Together, Connecting Faith and Daily Life podcast is a ministry of Calvary Lutheran Church with campuses in Clarkston, White Lake, Pontiac, Lapeer, Pinckney, and beyond. Calvary Lutheran Church is here because you matter. At Calvary, people are invited to come as they really are and to become all that God has made them to be. We believe that we are blessed so that we may be a blessing to others, and our mission is ultimately to know Christ and to make Christ known. To find out more about Calvary Lutheran Church and all the vibrant ministries, check out our webpage at calvaryinfo.org, or better yet, attend one of our weekly worship experiences, either in person or online. All right, well, it's now time for our Talk to the Hand segment, and I'm grateful today to have my good friend Matt here. Matt is married to Kelly, who's on staff at Calvary, and he's agreed to be in the Talk to the Hand chair. So, you know, Matt, thank you for agreeing to be in the Talk to the Hand chair. I think people will be very interested to hear what you have to say.
Thanks. I'm excited to be here. Episode number 6.
So. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Yep. So one of the things, ways we always start off is we just ask if the person who's being interviewed, just share a little bit with our listeners. Just give us a little glimpse of your story of faith and how you came to become a person of faith.
So, like a lot of other people, I don't have anything huge. I grew up being part of the church. My both my grandparents were very religious. I was fortunate to be a part of an Italian family in Michigan that was Catholic, and then when we visited South Dakota, it was German. So I got in with Lutheran. So I got to see a little bit of both, and I grew up Roman Catholic. My dad was very involved with his church, and we did pancake breakfast and coffee socials. So at a very early age, I was involved with our church. And as I went into grade school, my parents sent me to a Catholic school that actually was our church. So I became an altar boy, and I, you know, we had church 3 days of the week. So it was very common for me to be at church. And as we got older and we got out of the Catholic Church, or not the Catholic Church, but the Catholic school, we became more, it wasn't an obligation to go as much. And we became more of the classic CEOs, Christmas, Easter only. And then, you know, my faith has always been part of my life, but it became a thin place until I got a lot older and met my wife when we were dating. One of our first dates was to go to church on Sunday, which she was shocked that I said, yeah, I would love to do that. So, and then, you know, having a family, it was a pretty easy decision to get more involved with our church and be active and really wanted to create those same memories and experiences that I grew up with my son Keaton, so.
Great. Well, we have a couple of altar boys here doing the podcast today. I was one for many years, and the church that I attended, the attendance of the other altar boys and girls was not strong, so I got to do it quite often because I was always there. So, great. I really like too how you phrased, you know, the times when, you know, you sort of felt like you had become a CME. Person of faith at Christmas and Mother's Day and Easter, and you described it as a time when your faith was thin, and I think that's a really powerful image to think about, that you're there are times in our lives when our faith feels very thin, and then there are times when it feels very full. So I never heard it phrased that way before, but I really think it hits the nail right on the head. So, and I appreciate you sharing it in that way. So as you look at your life today, you know, in what specific ways do you see your faith affecting the way you live your daily life? It could be either at work or at home, with your friends, any environment that you might be in. What specifically would you say, what ways does your faith affect the way that you live your daily life?
Well, I found myself more recently accepting the little nudges. Pastor Jonathan had a sermon a couple years ago about the accepting God's nudges, and it really hit home. And I just find myself doing things now that are uncomfortable, that you know, I wouldn't normally shy away from, that for instance, this podcast. I probably would not have said yes to this 2 years ago. Public speaking is something that I kind of stay away from, and I let that go to those who actually enjoy it. But then again, I don't know if anyone really enjoys it. It's out of practice. And as I find more and more getting out of my comfort zone, joining the church council, being part of men's ministry and helping leading men's ministry before COVID, and even foods ministry and doing the pancake breakfast, all those things are it's easier for me to do when it's related to food, but it's still not something that I would normally say yes to. So at work, even like when if faith was to be brought up, I would usually walk away, because I always followed that rule. We don't talk about church or politics or money, so I never got involved. And now I kind of, not necessarily preach, but definitely I'm more involved, and I kind of like peacock a little bit and like, oh, okay, what are you guys talking about over there? And accept my faith and try to be more vocal, I guess. And it's worked, so.
Great. Yeah, I definitely, would agree with that the more comfortable you get in whatever situation you might be in, talking about faith it can be super fascinating too. Like, you just hear where different people are coming from, and you begin to understand how people see it, their faith through different lenses. And then one of the things I think we don't often do is that the way you really determine, or the way that you really acknowledge, how you feel about something or how you live your life as a person of faith is really having to explain it to someone else. To have to share with someone else where you're coming from. And sometimes we just don't critically think in that way. And those kind of conversations really help us to hone, how we really feel about things and how we do, view our faith. It gives us language, and it gives us ways to share, our particular faith that we experience through our own lens, with others but it does take practice. I agree with you there. That's really fantastic. So
one of my favorite parts of the day is actually, is doing highs and lows with my son and my wife. We make it a point, whether we're all in the same room or sometimes I'm on the phone at work, but we always make time to revisit and do our highs and lows and pray, because I think that's just such a great way to end the day and practice our faith together.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's a super powerful. It's sort of a way to be heard and to hear what's going on in the lives of those who are closest to you, and then to give it all up to God. So as you look over your life of faith, who were some of the people that impacted your faith walk, people who modeled living their faith through how they led their lives, and what parts of those things that you witnessed from other people, those sort of mentors in your life, what part of what you witnessed from them became part of how you live out your life?
Sure. Yeah. No, I mean, my parents were definitely really big part of my impact to my faith growing up. My wife definitely was a huge impact in that. But I also look for people that could be for instance, Coach Mark D'Antonio. He's been someone that I don't know personally, but the fact that he's publicly has been quoted, that he is open about his religion, and that I actually wrote a quote here: "You can talk about your faith, or you can live your faith." It was something that he was quoted saying, and I really value that when it's people who have accomplished or done things that have been remarkable. And but I also have people close in my life too. So I look for people who are strong in their faith and that they're vocal, and try to emulate that in my life wherever I can. I had a great director of operations who was my manager for many, many years, Lance Cook, who's always been vocal. We've had arguments. He's pulled me aside and at work, and we've had conversations in the cooler, at the restaurant, just because he knew that I was a safe place to talk to. And, it was great to have that relationship in a place that religion is not always talked about. So, but I'm always looking for that. I'm always... it's inspiring when you hear those stories or those remarkable people who are so vocal with their faith.
Good. Yeah, so as you look at your life of faith and how you're living it and the things that you engage in, what are the areas of your life that you wish you sort of reflected more of your faith or the person that you are to those people that you encounter? What do you wish you were like could maybe, I don't want to say better, but what areas do you wish just reflected more of your faith or who you are to those people that you meet?
We kind of talked about that, being more vocal. It's always a difficult putting yourself out there, especially now. It feels like you don't know how you're going to be perceived or received by the social media and the climate that we're in right now. It's ever changing. So to have that faith and to be more vocal with my friends and family, because I have quite a bit of friends that are part of the church that make it very comfortable to talk to, but then I also have coworkers and friends that may not share my faith or have a different faith that I kind of shy away from. And I'm always inspired by when you go out to the restaurant and you see people praying before dinner, and I wish I could I felt more comfortable in doing just simple acts like that, maybe small steps in being more visually faith-driven. So,
yeah. Well, you'll appreciate this as a person who's been in the restaurant industry for years. One of the things that we like to do when it's time to pray before a meal, and we do it in the restaurants as well, is that one of the things we started to do is we started to ask the person who was serving us. We said, "Look, we're people of faith, and we're going to pray before our meal. Is there any way that we could pray for you?" And I've been certainly dumbfounded by the openness that people have had. And I don't think it's driven by the desire for a larger tip. I think you're sort of recognizing their humanity. And some people are like, really? You want to know what's going on in my life? And you want to pray for something in my life? And some of the stories that people have shared have just been so powerful. And it just came down to asking and giving people the opportunity to share whatever's going on in their life and to be that sort of vessel for God. So good for you. Keep up the good work, man. So
yeah, I love that story.
So what advice would you give to somebody who they want to live a life of faith and they want to connect their faith to their daily life, but they're just not really sure where they want to begin? How would you suggest that they begin?
I would say start small. One of my favorite sayings my dad would say would be keep it simple. And, if you go into your path, and it is your path, it's your journey. And if you go into it thinking, I'm going to read the Bible, I've gone into it and it ends really quickly in Genesis. but having small goals, small objectives, whether it's reading a passage a day, or if it's just a general act of kindness, or whatever it is, just know that you're on a path. There's no judgment, and that you are really. I'm stumbling here. It's a personal goal. It's a personal place for yourself, and you. If you just go into it with the idea that my wife loves how I do analogies. So I'm going to give you an analogy. If your goal is to run or do a triathlon and your first day of training, you need to try to run 5 miles, you're going to fail. But if you go out just to the gym and open the door and walk in, you've won. So that's basically what, if you're looking to do anything, start small. Be open to whatever is out there, and know that it's very be humble, and where you are at today is just the beginning of your journey. So,
yeah, and to really realize that as you said, stumbling really is part of it. You stumble, you fall back, but do you get up and do you get back? Get back in the race, so to speak. We all stumble, and I had a mentor once tell me that. When you stumble, it's just a reminder that you're being real, that you're being authentic, because that's what happens to people. They stumble and they fall. But how you respond when you stumble and when you fall is really the sort of the gateway to either getting to where you want to go or remaining where you are. So one of the things that I wanted you to have an opportunity to talk about was that your wife, Kelly, is part of the staff at Calvary, and we love her, and she's just fantastic. She's so dedicated to the church, and she certainly helped me out quite a bit in my year here at Calvary. But you're part of her family, and mm-hmm. as someone who's on the staff at a church, you sort of share the person in your life with everyone who goes to the church.
Right.
So just give me what's it like to be a family member of someone who is on staff at church? And, you know, what are the great parts and what are some of the struggles? Because I know that families of people who are on staff at the church are not unlike any other family that might exist. So from your perspective, you know, what's it like to have someone that you know and that you love and that's part of your family, you know, also be a part of the staff of a church, a place like Calvary?
Yeah, that's a great question. It's been a roller coaster. You know, when Kelly first had this opportunity to take on this staff job, we prayed about it, and we weren't really sure exactly what we're going to get ourselves into, and I still don't think we know exactly what we got ourselves into. But we take it day by day. One of the things that, you know, was pretty apparent, and which I think was helpful, you mentioned before that, you know, being in hospitality, you learn that our jobs are not a normal 9-to-5 Monday through Friday work week. We work holidays, we work nights, we work days, we work weekends, we work holidays. I think that helped in a lot of ways for us to be successful. But communication, anytime we've had any kind of hiccups, it was definitely because of lack of communication. And when we open up and we're honest and we're truthful, and it always seems to work out. But it is a compromise. You know, it's never 50-50, it's rarely 50-50. Sometimes it's 90-10. Sometimes it's 100. It's just understanding that and having that confidence that that other person is going to be there. But, you know, having a someone that works at the church, it kind of lifts up the curtain a little bit. It gets rid of that mystery of or shock and awe of a church. You know, growing up, I thinking about a priest or a pastor, there's like this like aura about it. And when you're a staff member or your wife works for the church, you kind of see behind the scenes a little bit, and it kind of opens it up, which gives us an opportunity to really see how much goes into the production of a service on a Sunday. But also it makes it difficult sometimes to really enjoy service like we used to. So when we do practice and we do worship, it's very intentional, very purposeful. So that makes it it makes it really powerful. So, and you know, having the online worship has been truly a blessing for us to be able to not necessarily have worship on Sunday, but maybe Monday or even on a Wednesday afternoon, where it just works out in our life. So, it's definitely, it changes how you look at church, no doubt about it.
Yeah, thank you for that. I completely agree with you too. I know that in the last, you know, 3 or 4 months, I've been able to have my service for the people up in Lapeer, and then I've been able to transition down to Calvary for the 11 o'clock service. And the first few times that I was in worship, worshiping, not leading, but worshiping, well, you can worship and lead too.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean? Just kind of sitting in the pew, so to speak. Mm-hmm. It really dawned on me that in 20 years of doing this, I could count on one hand the amount of times that I was able to just go and sit with my family and experience worship together. So I totally get what it means. You can just sort of block everything else out and just you're there as the as the Rinaldi family, you know,
right.
And just worship and sort of take the responsibilities that you have as a staff person at the church, and you can sort of put them aside and just sit there and be a worshiping part of the worshiping community. So I really appreciate, you know, Matt, your candor and your honesty, and I really hope that people will take from this a couple things, but mostly that people who are families of staff members of the church, just lift them up and pray for them and support them, because we're no different than anyone else in the world. We have our ups and downs and our in-betweens, and it's really uplifting to know that, you know, someone's praying for you, or that someone cares for you, or that someone's interested in your life and how it's going. So I just want to thank you for, you know, your willingness to be in the chair today for Talk to the Hand, and this will come out in about a week's time. So thanks, Matt, so much for
that's awesome. Thank you.
Current outreach opportunities at Calvary Lutheran Church. We continue our partnership with Lighthouse of Oakland County to distribute boxes with 35 pounds of non-perishable food items for our neighbors and local agencies each Wednesday morning at our Clarkston campus. The boxes are distributed between 9 and 12 to individual families and local organizations that drive through for curbside pickup. If you would like to be a part of this amazing serving opportunity, you can sign up at Calvary's website, calvaryinfo.org. The Baldwin Center currently serves between 1,200 and 1,500 sandwiches per week. As part of our ongoing partnership with the Baldwin Center, Calvary has a fresh new way for us to continue this very important and impactful work in the Pontiac area. Each week we make 300 sandwiches for distribution at the Baldwin Center. The Baldwin Center did remind us that being part of this ministry is important, as the sandwich provided might be the only food that their clients receive for the day. Serving opportunities include shoppers, meat slicers, sandwich makers, and packers. Calvary PPE protocols, to include facial coverings and social distancing, is required. If you're interested, sign up at calvaryinfo.org under the Hunger Initiatives. We are also looking for sponsors to support this new program. Providing 1 week of 300 sandwiches costs about $200. To sponsor this effort, click here and click on our website, Hunger Initiative. The Handy Ministry. Do you like helping our neighbors with small home repairs and projects? We are looking for people interested in serving as an extension of our partnership with Clarkston Community Church. We are looking for skilled and unskilled labor for small construction and rehab projects in the Clarkston area. Generally, there are multiple projects occurring at the same time, so all levels of help are welcome. If you're interested in any of these opportunities, or have one that perhaps Calvary should consider, please reach out to Mission and Outreach Pastor Bob Hegdahl at 313-384-9659 or BHEGDAL at calvary-lutheran.org. And now we've come to the end of episode number 6 of the Link Together podcast. And until next time, keep living those faith and daily life connections and share them with others. Remember that you might be the first or only Bible that some people may ever read.